and it is always good to catch up with our next guest, former Predator. Now he's a husband, he's a dad, he's just living the life. Former Predator Jordan Tutu is with us tonight. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Darren. Thanks for having me. You know, obviously, you know, you guys being in Nashville, I miss the city. I mean, the people, but you guys are always in my thoughts.
Well, you certainly know your popularity here, and we'll get into that, obviously. But I need to start off by, one, just letting everybody know, what are you doing? How's lockdown with the wife and two daughters? How's everything going?
It's been quite interesting, I guess, I'm sure, for everybody. You know, I mentioned earlier in our conversation that in Kelowna, we kind of live closer to the farmland area. So we're able to get outside. The girls play. They're outdoors all day, which is great, right? Try and limit their screen time. You know, I didn't grow up playing video games and stuff. So it's been quite interesting. But, you know, at the same time, it's a great way for us to reflect on our relationship. And, you know, my wife and I, we have great conversations, and it's been great. Honestly, you know, I grew up in a small town, so I'm kind of used to, you know, people doing their own thing and all that. So it's been nice.
Yeah, you're right. You grew up with a little bit slower life and atmosphere in Nunavut, and then you get into this professional hockey where you know that, you know, for a 7-month stretch of your year, 8-month, it's green light, go. It's crazy, on the go constantly. You know, the rigors of a long regular season, and in your case, playing a lot of playoff hockey, it's crazy to kind of everybody to sit back and now reflect as everything slowed down, right?
Yeah, no, it's been, you know, like you said, I grew up very methodical lifestyle, and you know, and then moving to Nashville, and you know, life just, you know, took off for me, and it, you know, it was a bit of a whirlwind. But that being said, you know, growing up in Nunavut has kept me grounded, kept me true to my roots, and you know, my doing the little things. Nowadays, you know, my post-retirement, I've been doing a lot of public speaking in Indigenous communities, and obviously that's kind of, you know, slowed down with this pandemic going on, but it's been good. Yeah. You know, I don't mind just putzing around and you know, being present with my kids and you know, being able to watch them grow on a daily basis.
Jordan, I try here because you know what the city of Nashville is like now. It's grown so much from the beginning of your career to where it is today. It's crazy, the growth chart. I mean, it's been a rocket ship for the last 5 or 6 years. And so there's a lot of new people and a lot of new Predators fans. And when I get the chance, you know, anytime can go down memory lane and kind of educate people and give people the history. Certainly you're brought up a lot. And I remember, you know, today there's so much attention on Nashville and the Predators with their playoff runs and their run to the Stanley Cup final. But I remember vivid conversations with Kevin Allen. I know I've brought this up with you before, but back then, Jordan, that was a big deal for this market and this organization. I mean, that was a huge, huge article in USA Today. And yes, folks, newspapers back then were a really big deal. I know people don't exactly have their physical newspaper anymore, but back then, Kevin Allen, how long did he follow you around?
So Kevin actually came up to my neck of the woods, up to Nunavut. And, you know, when he reached out to me and wanted to write a story, I told him, you ain't going to get the story unless you come up to Nunavut. And he eventually made it up there. And I think the article came out just before the season started. Yeah. And it was a great way for our fans to get to know me a little bit and what I grew up doing and all that. And, you know, being a part of, that growth from the start, right? You know, when I was there early, you know, the first couple of years we didn't make the playoffs, and then we made it, and you know, went on to the second round, and you could just see the fan base growing and the city coming together, and now, you know, watching playoff games, the atmosphere, the city is buzzing, and you know, I reflect back and say, you know, I was a part of that growth, and to be on the ice to hear, you know, the crowd, the fans going crazy and the city buzzing, something special. And when I went back there last year to do the ceremonial puck drop, it gave me a couple of tears because, you know, when all eyes are on you, it's a little different when you have 20 other guys on the bench and everyone's watching you. But that moment and having my daughter come out and drop the puck was a memory I'll never forget.
If people don't remember, it was last February 2nd, which that's a pretty interesting, your birthday. And it was Jordan 2-2 night. And it just happened to be against the Dallas Stars. A lot of coincidences that night.
Yeah, I mean, we all know our rivals with the Dallas Stars and all that. And but yeah, it's, you know, I was able to walk away from the game on my own terms. And now looking back, I don't regret anything. I learned a lot growing up as a young professional, and, you know, I couldn't thank Mr. Poyle and Barry Trotz and the whole organization for caring about Jordan Tutu, the person, not the hockey player. And every time I see Mr. Poyle or Trotzy, you know, I thank them and I thank the fans of Nashville. It was an unbelievable experience.
Yesterday, Jordan, was 22 years ago. Hard to believe, 22 years ago when the league pronounced the Nashville Predators were officially joining the National Hockey League as the 27th franchise. Hard to believe it's been 22 years. But you talked a little bit about where you grew up. And I remember I used to see your dad around a lot. I'm not sure if it was both your mom and your dad, but what did it mean for mom and dad to see you play in a Nashville Bridgestone Arena for the Predators and playing in the National Hockey League?
Well, for me, it was a goal of mine ever since I was a young kid. And for that dream to come true and to have my parents, my family there, people from Nunavut, I remember the first time I stepped over the boards and laid my skates on the ice, all I thought about was my brother Terrence. And, you know, this, I did it for him. You know, because the note that he left me, George, go all the way, take care of the family, you are the man. Those words I live by every day, and I knew what he meant by go all the way. That was make it to the NHL for us. And a moment, you know, that no one ever could take back from me. And God, 20 years old. Making the NHL, you know, words can't express how I felt.
What did it mean to you, and how tough was it to put your life in a book and let everybody read the good and the tough times of Jordan Tutu in that book? What did that mean to you, and how challenging was it to actually go through with it?
Well, it was very challenging because I remember when Stephen Brunt and I, we hung out for 3 years, and I think the first year that I was sugarcoating a lot of my childhood memories, and I remember him constantly asking the same question, is this it? And finally, probably after a year, I just said, you know what? If I'm going to do this, it's going to be a healing process for me, for my family, and I just let it all out. And it felt like weight just lifted off my shoulders. because I knew I'm not the only one that has gone through this kind of life, and that, you know, we all fight a fight nobody knows about unless we talk about it, unless we communicate, and just believe in yourself, trust yourself. It took a long time for me to, you know, be content in my own skin and be proud of who I am and where I come from. Writing the book was uplifting for me, you know, although it brought back a lot of memories that I didn't want to go to, but I needed to in order to heal. And you know, now I get to share my story in the Indigenous communities, because, you know, they've lived a similar life than I have. And I broke through, and, you know, I always say, you know, if I can do it, you know, with the help of others, because no one can fix themselves on their own, to be honest. And that's what I've learned. You know, earlier in my career, I always thought I could do it on my own. And, you know, year after year after year, and then my seventh year in Nashville, I hit my rock bottom, and fortunately enough, I had the support of the organization and Mr. Poyle and Trotsky really pushing me through.
Yeah, what is it, eight and a half years now?
Nine and a half.
9 years. Wow, yeah. Congratulations. That's incredible. So what do you remember about that day when General Manager David Poyle and then Head Coach Barry Trotz pulled you into the office?
Yeah, so I get a call around noon, and it was David said, "Toots, please come down to the office." And, you know, I was hungover. I knew exactly this wasn't the first meeting I had with them. And I remember stopping at a red light on Demumbrium, right after the bridge, close to the Bridgestone Arena. And I stared at that red light, and I remember saying to myself, this is it. I know I need to fix myself. And it was within that 20 seconds of the red light, I just put my hands up in the air and said, when I walked into Mr. Poyle's office, I broke down in tears, and I said, look, I need help. I need to go. And I mean, for a guy that grew up always being taught to never show weakness, to never back down, men don't surrender, I brought that into my career. But at that moment, I said, you know what, this is it. If I don't fix myself now, my career is going to be done. You know, I may not be even living much longer. And so, you know, I went in knowing that I had to fix myself in order to save my life, to save my career. And it gave me another 8 years in the league.
Yeah. Do you think that they were surprised at how willing you were? Because a lot of people aren't, as you know. I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people over the years that appreciate you telling your story, but a lot of people go kicking and screaming, you know, they're not willing to do it. But do you think they were surprised you were so willing?
Well, I mean, I've had multiple conversations with Trotsky about my lifestyle. You know, growing up, Trotsky, you know, he told me, you know, his parents were alcoholics, and he understands, you know, where I'm coming from. And so it was, you know, someone I could relate to, right? And when I talk to them, they're just, it's almost like they had tears of joy too. You know, we all gave each other hugs, and I remember David telling me, you know, he is proud of me in that moment, and, you know, he gave me a hug. And that's the first time I ever, you know, felt like somebody cared about Jordan Tutu, the person.
Mm. Wow. By the way, if you've seen Demumbrian these days, it doesn't look like the days you remember.
Hey, trust me, I don't remember a lot, but I do remember De Montmirem Street, because, you know, one of my favorite places to hang out was the Tin Roof.
Yeah. In fact, we did bring you up on the radio show. We did a show in there about 3 months ago, and we brought you up. Yes, you did.
If only those walls can talk.
You must have been listening. Those were my exact words. If these walls could talk, man, they could have a heck of a show today. I do want to talk about, we were kind of going down memory lane with the Predators, and now that they've broken through and done all these new things, winning division titles and getting to the Stanley Cup final, representing the Western Conference, you went through the beginning part, and Detroit and San Jose was your big hurdles early on, the first 4 years of playoffs in Nashville. But let's start with that 03-04 season. I've always said, and yes, 2016-2017 was special. Getting to the Stanley Cup final, Bridgestone Arena, was as crazy as it gets. But for all those people that were in there during those times that never experienced the early days, to think that you could get that atmosphere in Nashville, it was unbelievable, those games against Detroit. What do you remember about that first ever playoff series against the Red Wings?
Well, definitely the atmosphere, right? I think our fans didn't quite understand what the playoffs meant to us as players. And once we won the first game, it was like they were just craving more. And the crowd level was just, you can see it building and building and building. And I remember, you know, especially against Detroit, because, you know, we played eight games against them every year, and it was a bloodbath. And, you know, playoff hockey was a different level. And I think in those earlier years, our fans craved it more and more and more and more. And you know, those battles, I mean, to win the Stanley Cup, you know, I think most fans don't understand what players go through, both physically, mentally, the grind. You know, you just don't turn on a switch and, you know, boom, you're in playoff hockey, man. You got to start playoff hockey, you know, 2015 games from the end of the season, right? And build that. And I mean, the fans in Nashville just created that buzz that just fed us more energy. And, you know, we fed off that. And, you know, during their cup run, God, I mean, the whole country, right? Everybody wanted to be in Nashville.
They did.
Just to be in that atmosphere.
I think I could have built a second house if I would have sold tickets to that Stanley Cup final. That's how bad people wanted in the building. But your last 2 years, you got to be a part of the first two, right? You got to be a part of the first ever playoff series, and you got to be a part of the first team to get out of the first round, and you did it the last 2 years that you were here in Nashville. What was it like to advance to the second round?
Well, to be honest, it was I remember – The first time we made it to the second round, you know, the owners came down and in the dressing room, they were high-fiving everyone like we won the cup, right? And I look around the dressing room and I could see guys just like, what like, we haven't won nothing yet. Like, why is there so many people in the dressing room, you know, the veteran guys? And but I think that was a moment in time where Preds fans knew that the team was on the rise and something big's you know, is going to happen. And, you know, they every year from that year on, you know, Mr. Poile puts a team together that, you know, are contenders. Guys, players want to play there. And, you know, I think When I left Nashville, you know, for me personally, it was time for change, time for a new chapter. Because although I would have loved to finish my career and play my whole career in Nashville, just mentally for my health, you know, it was time for me to move on and experience, you know, a different scene. And I didn't know I was going to sign in Detroit, to be honest. You know, that call came, I basically had a deal done with the New York Rangers, and Kenny Holland called my agent when I hung up the phone with the Rangers and offered me a deal I couldn't pass up. And I looked at my wife and I was just like, wow, this could be really interesting. Going back to my first game in Nashville against their biggest rival, but you know, that's the business of hockey, right? It is what it is. But you know, my heart's always gonna. There's always gonna be a place in my heart in Nashville, and to go back last year and kind of say goodbye to the game in Nashville really closed that chapter of my life in the National Hockey League.
So the last year you were here wasn't because I hosted your radio show. That had nothing to do with you saying your time was up here. I just want to make sure, because I don't want to burden that.
I want to carry that around. Well, I don't know what the history is, you know, with these radio shows and players, and then the following year they leave, right? Yeah. How many guys have had radio shows and moved on with
lost
you?
Count.
But no, you know, like for me, I was always, I always made time for our fans, and you know, my father always said, you stay till the last person has gotten your autograph, no matter what. And I always carried that with me throughout my career. You know, be humbled, be kind. Our fans pay a lot of money to come see us. And those are just little gestures that I'll never forget. And just interacting with our fans was a highlight of my career.
During these quarantine times, Jordan, I've had a chance to catch up with a lot of your teammates. Joe Ward just announced on the Players Tribune that he's hanging up his skates. Just talked to him last week. Shea Weber was nice enough to come on a couple of weeks ago. Buddy Nick. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you play with. Talk with Chris Mason all the time. Thomas Wilkoon came on. Who were some guys that meant a lot to you? Scott Hartnell came on. Who were some guys that meant a lot to you during your playing days here?
My first year, Jim McKenzie was a guy who took me under his wing, and Scotty Walker. And you know, obviously the late Greg Johnson was a huge mentor of mine. You know, Jason York, the list goes on, you know, and Hartsey. I have a great memory with Hartsey. He was the first time I was introduced to sushi was with Hartsey. But, you know, guy, in my early days, I think Jim McKenzie was a huge, had a huge impact on me personally, both on and off the ice. And then, you know, obviously as the years went on, played with a lot of great guys, Paul Kariya, Peter Forsberg, JP Dumont, Jason Arnett. I mean, the list goes on, right? And, you know, one of my favorite teammates was Chris Mason. You know, the guy was, had the biggest smile on his face. Every day in the dressing room, he worked as hard as anyone could work, and just a role model by actions. And I'm sure he still is today with Skillsy, right? Like they got it going on, I think. But in those early days, Scotty Walker, Greg Johnson, Jim McKenzie. You know, I've been punched in the head a lot of times. Like, my memory's not the greatest.
Do you ever check out their videos?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Like, showing our fans the humor side of, individuals. You know, it's not always business, right? You got to have a little fun in your life. And for me, going to the rink every day was a joy, right? Because I was in pretty dark places early in my career. And, you know, hockey saved my life. Hockey was my outlet. And to have 20 guys by your side, no matter what, was, being a part of any team, is a special feeling.
All right, let's end with this, Jordan. You told me before we started that you were building shelves in the garage. What is Jordan Tutu up to post hockey? What are you doing these days? Do you want to be a part of the game? What's the future hold?
Well, for me now, obviously we have two little girls, Sienna and Avery. Sienna just turned 4 yesterday, and Avery just turned 2 in February. So I've been, very fortunate to spend a lot of time with them and watch them grow up. One of my main hobbies that I picked up in retirement, I'm rebuilding a 67 Bronco. So,
oh, wow.
That keeps me busy in the garage and doing a lot of wrenching and putzing around.
Life isn't too bad. Actually, you've been in quarantine life for a while, right?
Yes.
Hey, it's good to catch up with you as always. You will always be beloved in Nashville. There's always going to be a special place in Predators fans' hearts for you. You were a fan favorite for a very long time. You were great to cover and deal with on a regular basis. We've always rooted for you. I've always rooted for you. And I can't be more thrilled to hear that you're 9-plus years sober. You're still amazing. Continued success. Enjoy being a dad and a husband. And I look forward to talking to you down the road.
Sounds good, Darren. Thanks for having me. Go Preds, go. I miss you guys. And, I appreciate all your guys' support. And I'm very, very humbled and honored to have played and put it on the Preds jersey for the fans, for the city of Nashville. And I just want to thank everybody for their support. So thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. You and the family be safe.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you.
See ya.